In this particular passage of the Word of God, we find Jacob. Jacob is returning home. 20 years he had been away from home, and he'd been working and living in the house of Laban. He's coming back to his home, and he's coming back to his people. Now, I say this, he may be returning home, but great trouble lies before him. Before he left home, there was a disagreement between him and his brother Esau. Esau hated now Jacob. So Jacob sends a message on to Esau to tell him here that he's coming to meet him. And what do we find? Well, it tells us what happened in verse 6. And the message returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." And this certainly was not the news that Jacob wanted to hear. He was wanting to hear, "Esau's coming. Esau has forgiven me. He's going to embrace me. He's going to kiss me. He's going to forgive me." But that's not the message he hears. He hears this message, "He's coming to meet you." And he's 400 men with him. Can you imagine the fear that fell upon this man when he heard this? And what did he do? What did this saint of God do when he heard there's trouble? There's trouble coming. But what do we find here in the passage? He starts to pray. He starts to pray unto the Lord. In verse 9, "O God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac." And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it was this. When trouble came to him, what did he do? He prayed. He started to pray. It's not true of all of us. There's nothing will get you to pray like trouble. Have you wondered, why has this happened to me? Why has this difficulty? Why has this problem come into my life, come into my family? Why is all these things, why are these things happening to me? Is God bringing you to the place of prayer? Everything's rosy. What do? We get slack in the place of prayer. We don't come to the prayer meeting. We don't really pray so much at home. We feel, well, with everything's going well and we've got everything. But when trouble comes, it gets us on our knees before God. And that's where we find this man. He's on his knees before God. Remember, the psalmist was the same spirit. In Psalm 31, verse 9, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Do you see him down before God? He's nowhere else to go. He's no one else to turn to. And so he said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, O God, for I am in trouble." He's looking to God for help. And James said the same. In James 5, verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Let him pray. Are you afflicted this morning? Are you in trouble today? Are you facing difficulties? Child of God in this meeting, then get on your knees before God. That's where Jacob it is. He's dying before God, and he's praying on to the God of his salvation. And so what we find, even though he's praying, he's not full of faith. He's full of fear. You see, this mighty man of God, it says in verse 7, when he heard the message, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. It doesn't say that Jacob says, "Well, fear not, God is with me." No doubt, as we'll see, God was with him. But Jacob was greatly, he was greatly afraid, and he was distressed what was facing him. He was full of fear instead of full of faith. Now, he should have had faith. Because over in Genesis 31, verse 3, without turning to it, God told them to turn back home. And then in the very beginning, I'm sure you notice in verse chapter 32, verse 1, when Jacob was on his way, the angels of God met him. So in what fashion, I'm not really sure how this happened. But here he is returning home, and God told him to go home. And then when he's making his journey home, God sends angels to comfort him and to lead him and to be with him. So he had no call to be afraid. I want to say to you, child of God, this morning, whatever's going on, you've no call to be afraid. God is with you. All around us and underneath are the everlasting arms of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But sometimes we fear. Sometimes we're faithless. Sometimes we're trembling, just like Jacob. And God is with us at all the time. And we should turn to the Lord in our time. But remember Psalm 56, verse 3. The psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And you and I can do the same. Now, it's while he's in the place of prayer that Jacob says the words of our text. He's telling the Lord about himself. And this is what he says in verse 10. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and of all the truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." And so he's crying before the Lord, and I want you to think of what he's saying to God. He said to the Lord, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy." Have you ever been in that position? So how you feel this morning here in the house of God? We've been praising the Lord in song and singing unto the Lord with all our heart. But you feel within your heart today, "I'm not worthy." You cast down. Well, here he is. Here's this man. "I'm not worthy." I just want to say a couple of things here this morning here. And Jacob here shows something. He shows his humility here in these words. These words are coming from the heart of a man who's full of humility. He's not demanding that God helps him. He's not giving arguments on the Lord why God should come and deliver him. But rather he says, "Lord, I'm not worthy." You have some lessons about his humility here. Think about the groan of humility. He's saying, "This is a groan. Hey, Lord, I'm not worthy." He's looking at his heart. He's looking at himself. And as he looks at himself, he sees that he's nothing. He has a real view of himself in the sight of God. He's not proud. He's not boasting. He's not demanding anything from his God. No, he says, "Lord, I'm not worthy." So here's the groan of humility. "I'm not worthy, Lord." You go over to the Bible, you'll find there were other people said the same thing. You think of the prodigal son, he went away, he spent all his inheritance, he sinned greatly against his father, and yet we find that he says in Luke 15, verse 19, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." He was really coming with the same spirit. He was humbled before his father, and he says, "Father, I'm going to come, and I'm going to say this, I'm not worthy." You think over in Luke chapter 15, verse 19, talked about the centurion servant that wanted to be healed. He sent servants. He sent the Jews to them. And the Jews came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here, this man's a great man. He's built a synagogue. He's done a lot for us. And you know, he's worthy. He's worthy. You should help him. And you should heal his servant. And yet when you find all that, and just quoting from it, that particular passage in Luke 7, when he came, and when he was coming, the man sent out messengers and he said to "Don't even come under my roof. I'm not worthy." And he says, "I didn't even come to meet thee because I'm not worthy." And so here's the spirit of humiliation. And Jacob is saying, "Lord, I'm not worthy." This is a groan of humiliation. He actually said, "I don't even deserve the least of all thy mercies." Could you ever stop to think, what's the least of all the mercies of God? How can we boil it down? Well, what could we say? Well, what about a cup of water? Not much. Really, in this land, I suppose, water is abundance really here, but is it just a cup of water? Remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 42, "And whosoever shall give drink unto one of these ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." So the Lord is talking about just a little thing you can do for a servant of God. He says, even a cup of water, as if he brings it right down to a little thing. And Jacob even talks in his humiliation, "Lord, don't even deserve a cup of water." He talks, maybe it's the air that he breathes, remember? In Job 12, verse 10, "In whose hand, God's hand, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." And Jacob, he's groaning. He said, "Lord, I don't deserve anything." don't deserve anything from your gracious hand. Even, Lord, the smallest things of this life. There's no pride here. There's no pride in the life or in the heart of Jacob. He says, I am not worthy. Not worthy. He's humble. King Hezekiah tells us in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Man, he was full of pride. You can read all about him. The pride of Hezekiah. Mighty, mighty man of God. But he got filled with pride. With nothing. I said to every one of us in this meeting this morning, we have nothing to be proud about. I'm not worthy. That's a groan that came from his heart here in the place of prayer. And I had to say it myself and every one of us to say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Is that how you groan today within your heart? Do you feel that spirit within your soul today? I remember years ago there was a fella, and he was maybe struggling a wee bit in his Christian life. And he wasn't really coming to take the Lord's Supper. And it was noticed by one of the elders. It wasn't in this church, by the way. But he noticed this fella wasn't coming. So you know what, tell him, and he says to him, you know, why are you not taking communion? Why are you not taking communion? And the fella said to him, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And the old elder said to him, he said, there's none of us worthy. There's none of us worthy. And you know, if you only ask those who's worthy to be at the Lord's table, this place would be empty the next time we meet together. I thought it was a great answer at that time. So we find here this groan of humility. Lord, I'm not worthy. Think about the growth of humility. You see, the older you get, the more unworthy you see you are to be. Jacob, you know, never said these words when he arrived in the home of Laban. When he went into that place and into the home, he never said once, I'm not worthy. And when he worked hard there for 20 years, I never find him or never hear him saying these words, I'm not worthy. But you know, I want to tell you this, as the years were coming on to Jacob, year after year, year after year, it's now 20 years he's been away from home, 20 years he's been with Laban. As the years were coming on to this saint of God, the more he walked with God, the more he talked with God, the picture was getting clearer every time, and it was shown within his heart, look, I'm not worthy. You see, he was growing in humility. And that's what happens. I was taking a picture in this sermon this morning. I was reading the book, The Life Story of George Mueller. I've read it before. I'm going over it again. Years ago since I read it. And as I was reading about it, this man was saying about George Mueller. And here's what he said. I just said, the older he grew, the humbler he became. And I just thought, well, that's what I'm preaching on in the morning. The older he came, a mighty, mighty man of God that saw a great work being done. But the older he became, the humbler he became. You see, there's a growth in humility. I know the Bible tells us, as every child of God, we are to grow in the faith. Think 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith growth exceedingly. We should never get to a position in our Christian life where we have arrived. And if there's anyone here this morning and you says, no, I have a right, I know it all. Well, I tell you, you're badly deceived. We should always be growing in the faith. Always be growing in the faith. We are to grow even in love. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, and the charity, the word charity means love, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. You know, it aboundeth. It was growing. And the child of God is to... It's a growing knowledge. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're always to be growing in the faith, in love, in knowledge, learning more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a growth in the Christian life. There's never a time comes when we stop growing spiritually. We should always be growing. And that's the same with humility. We grow more and more humble as the time goes on. And the more we go on and the years go on, I say myself, I'm not worthy.
I'm not worthy, Lord, of the least of thy mercies. I say it more today than I did 20 years ago. And when I was a young fella getting saved or started out preaching, I suppose you rolled up the sleeves and you thought you're going to change the world. I tell you, you soon learned you weren't going to change too much, but God was going to change me and he's going to change you. We find all these things. We learn all these things. Lord, I'm not worthy. And the more you go on, every child of God today, we had to say the years are coming on to all of us. But nevertheless, we grow in this. We say, Lord, I'm not worthy. What about the grace and this humility? Oh, there's grace in these words. Because if he got what he deserved, he talked about getting the least mercy here. But listen, if he got what he deserved, he wouldn't be on his face before God. He'd be lost in hell. He was a sinner like everyone. He had failed God. He had sinned against the Lord. He was lost, but he found Christ. Grace. I'm not worthy, Lord. But there's mercy. If God had given what he deserved, he would be lost. Or I would say to every child of God today, there's grace in us saying these words, Lord, I'm not worthy because God gave us what we deserve. We would be lost today. We'd be in hell. Oh, here it is, the humiliation of this man of God. Matthew Henry said, the best and greatest of men are utterly unworthy of the least favor from God. The best and greatest man is utterly unworthy of the least favor. Not the worst. I would probably say I'm in the worst category than you yourself today. But he's talking about the best. They're not even worthy of the least favor from God. So here he shows his humility. Lord, I'm not worthy. Have you come to that position? Is that how you feel in your heart here today in this meeting? I'm not worthy. You're looking at yourself, you see. But God has still blessed you. And that's when he goes on to speak about Jacob and his blessings. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which I showed to thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and I am become two bands. So he's not worthy. Listen, he's certainly not worthy. But God blessed him. God blessed him. A child of God, he's blessed you, you're not worthy. And he's blessed me, I'm not worthy. And the source of these blessings, they came from God. The least of all the mercy and of all the truth was thy has showed unto thy servant. And he's showing here that everything he had, it came from God. It came from the God of heaven. Now, I know he had worked for 20 years way down there in that country with Laban. But he didn't say, Lord, well, this is all the work of my hands. He did not say, well, these are the wages of my labors. And no doubt they were. And no doubt he did work hard. And he worked very hard down there in that land. But he never said that at all. He traced it all back. And I want you to see, he traced everything he had. He traced it all back to God's hand. It was God gave it to him all. Every bit of it. And everything he had, God had given it to him. And you can see that with his cattle in chapter 31 and verse 9. For instance, he's speaking there to his wife. He's telling them he's going to leave, going to head back home. And he says in verse 9, thus God has taken away the cattle of your father, and listen, and given them to me. You see all the flocks I have here, all the cattle, everything I have, do you see it? He's talking to his wives here. Do you see all this cattle? A great multitude it was. He says, God give it to me. He's tracing his blessings back to God, even in relation to his children. In Genesis 33 and verse 5, when he met Esau, and he saw all the children, remember he had 12 sons and one daughter. And he lifted up his eyes in Genesis 33 verse 5, he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, who are those with thee? Notice what he said. And he said, us, Jacob, the children which God has graciously given thy servant. Where do you get all these children? Who's all this people with you? And Jacob, he had the answer immediately. He says, these are the children that God has given to me. And I said to you, he traced all his blessings back to God. God had given him everything. Well, child of God, you and I can say the same. Lord, I'm not worthy. But everything I have, you have given to me. The home that you live in, you say, I worked hard for it. Perhaps you did. But remember this, you can trace it back to God. The family God has given, the children, the possessions that you have. Maybe, as I said, you've worked for it. Granted. But without the blessing of God, you would have nothing. And Jacob realized that himself. He traced it all back to God. He says, God, you've given me all these things. Jacob's talking to the Lord about God has given to him, though he wasn't worthy. Though he was not worthy of this. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Notice every, not just some of the things that you and I have, child of God, in our lives today and in our family today. Not just some, but everything we have cometh down from God. And those of little children today, and that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Remember, God gave you those children. Everything you have. He's given you homes. He's given you health and strength, every blessing. We're not worthy. That's my testimony. This is Jacob's testimony. I'm not worthy. But thou hast given me all these blessings, Lord. He can look around him. He can see his family, his wife. He can see his children. He can see his possessions. Think about the size of his blessings. Notice he talks here about mercies. It's in the plural. Mercies means kindness, good deed, or favor. And he's acknowledging that though he is unworthy, and I want you to see that God has blessed him greatly. He blessed him greatly. You think in verse 10. It tells us there in verse 10, he says himself, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan. And when he left home, nobody had in his hand. He had a staff. That's all he had. He had just a staff in his hand. That's all he had. And then we find there in Genesis 28, when he was going to take a bit of a sleep, he didn't have a big fluffy feathery pillow to put his head down. He had to get stones. He didn't have a pillow. And he says, well, I better get a bit of a night's sleep here on the starry sky. He didn't even have a bed to lie in. He's lying out in the open air. And he gets these stones all put together and he puts his head. He didn't even have a pillow. So I want you to see here when he's leaving home that he's going out and he is nothing. But you see, when he's coming home, what a different story. He's blessed. Talks about his cattle, even the present that he was sending there to Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, verse 14, and 200 ewes, and 20 lambs, and there was camels, there was oxen, and there was many, many things. This was only a present, but there were hundreds of things sent to Esau just for a present. Now, that shows me something here that Jacob had many, many things. He had much more. So God blessed him greatly. He even talked about there when he's speaking to Laban in Genesis 30, verse 30, and talking about their stock and their farm. He says, for it was little which I had before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when I shall provide for mine own house also. We talk here how God had blessed and everything he had was a multitude. And so we find the size of the blessings. It says of Ruth, in Ruth 1 verse 21, I went out full and the Lord had brought me home again empty. And you can see that in the book of Ruth. She disobeyed God and she backslid and she went away out full with her husband, with her children. But you know, when she came back again, she came back empty with nothing. It was not true with Jacob. He went out empty and he returned full with great blessings. Though unworthy, the Lord, he can say, had blessed me greatly. He had so much that it says there, he separated into two bands. He had two crowds. He divided the crowd into two. He had so much, you see. And over in Genesis 33, when he's speaking to Esau later on, he says, I have enough. And that particular word, enough, it means, of all things. And he said to Esau, I don't need anything else. You see, God had blessed him. And God had blessed him greatly. And child of God, what about the size of our blessings? Could you count them? Do we not sing that little hymn, count your blessings, name them. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You couldn't count them. Now we could count your problems, count your problems. There's only a few. But count your blessings, there are many. We get it the wrong way around sometimes. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And here's David, the same spirit. He has the same God. He's had the same blessing. And he says, Lord, there are many of your wonderful works. If I would even sit down and declare them and speak, I couldn't number them. And Jacob here says, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy, Lord. But you have blessed me. And you have blessed me greatly. And every child of God in this meeting, our hearts shall be drawn out to God this morning. For he's done great things for us. He's blessed us with health and strength and homes and children, companions, whatever the case may be. And the Lord Jesus Christ. All we think about the size of the blessings. Count them. I'm not worthy, but we have a great God who blesses us. Even though we're not worthy, even though we don't deserve it, he still blesses us. How great is the God we love today. How great is the God we come to worship today in this house. I'm not worthy, Lord. Well, that certainly blessed me. The size of the bed. Can I speak a lot about the spirituality of his blessing? Don't forget the blessings that you could not see. He was saved in Genesis 28, verse 12. Remember, he fell asleep and he saw this face and he saw a ladder reaching up into heaven. The Lord stood upon above the ladder, and this was a ladder that reached from the earth to heaven. And he was gloriously saved. He was saved. He had salvation. He had the truth. He talked here about the truth here in verse 10. He had the promise of God. He had the Savior. The Lord Jesus was the Savior. He had great blessings. Listen, he had great spiritual blessings. He was saved by the grace of God. And yet he was unworthy. I am unworthy, Lord. And yet he had these great blessings. Every child of God can say the words of Jacob, I am unworthy. Yet thou hast blessed me with salvation. There's not a person listening to me on the internet today or a person in this meeting deserves salvation. Not one of us. Not one person deserves it. If we got what we deserved, as I already have indicated earlier on, we would be lost. But thank God he blesses us. So unworthy. So unworthy that he saves us. Has blessed us with salvation. We have the scriptures, the word of the living God. There are people over the world today and they've never read a Bible. They've never heard the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so unworthy. And we have the word of the living God. And we have a Savior with us. And he's with us every step of the way. We're not worthy of his love. We're not worthy of his mercy. We're not worthy of his son. We're not worthy of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the spirituality of our blessings. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven to save you. I would have to look and say, Lord, you're coming to save sinners, but I'm not worthy. We can see him being taken and nailed on the cross. And he's suffering greatly upon the cross. I'd have to look by faith into his face and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. To hear him crying out, my God, why is thou forsaken me? As for us, he was forsaken. We see him dying, Lord, I'm not worthy. We're not worthy. Yet, here's the wonderful thing. He's blessed us. He's blessed us with salvation. Little song says, when I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question. Who am I? Who am I that the king should bleed and die for? Who am I that he should pray not my will, thy Lord? The answer I may never know. why he could ever love me so. But to that old rugged cross he'll go. For who am I? Who am I? I want you to see that this morning. Child of God, you're blessed greatly. But who am I? And yet we're loved with a great love and blessed with a great God. And he's blessed us with spiritual blessings. He's washed away all our sins. He's given us everlasting life. He's given us a home in heaven. How great is the blessing of the Lord. And Michal said, Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. But thou hast blessed me. Not one of a child. You can rejoice in it. Don't be looking at yourself. When we look at ourselves, we get cast down. Every look you take at yourself, take 10 looks to Jesus Christ. If you're cast down this morning, child of God, you're looking in the wrong place. Look to Christ. His righteousness has been given to us. He's our Savior and he's our friend. So I'm not worthy, but God has blessed me. And you're glad you're in the house of God today. And you're glad you're in the family of God. And you're saved and on your way to heaven. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? Nobody. But oh, he has blessed us abundantly. There's only one who's worthy. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Over in Revelation chapter 5. Remember there was a book and they were trying to see who could open this book. And it says here that it was none open, only Christ. And verse 9 says, and they sung a new song and saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. And verse 12, they were singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's only one person worthy. It's not you. It's not me. It's not Jacob. It's no one. The only one who's worthy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And saying that is so, I want to say this. We should praise him. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. And so, he is worthy to be praised. But for all that he has done for us, we were singing it, I shall never cease to praise him. He's worthy of our love, isn't he? Isn't he worthy of your life? Remember, and right turn to Romans chapter 12, we had offered our bodies a living sacrifice. He's worthy. He's worthy of all that I have. And I would say to every child of God, give everything to Christ. Say, Lord, I give all to thee. Because thou alone art worthy. There is none like the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a great meeting the other night up there at Installation, the Reverend Foster. It was tremendous. I enjoyed the singing. The singing was electrifying. And they were singing that hymn, and I couldn't find it, but I got help there before the meeting. Our sister Heather, she had the program, and she says, I have. I said, no problem. I'm not going to sing the hymn to you, by the way. But here's one verse. It says, the church triumphant singing, worthy the Lamb. Heaven throughout with praises ringing, worthy the Lamb. Thrones and powers before him bending, odors sweet with voice ascending. Swell the chorus never ending, worthy the Lamb. And if you had been there on Friday night, you'd have thought we put another gear in the last four lines. It lifted the roof. Worthy. Worthy of the Lamb. I am worthy. But I give all to Christ. He's worthy. And you're glad you're saved this morning. You know, if you're not saved, though unworthy, remember, unworthy, it's for all of us. He can save you. He said, I meet people who say, I'm too bad. You don't know the sins I've committed. I'm so far away from God. Listen, unworthy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He can save you, forgive you, and cleanse you, though you are unworthy. He's done it for us. He can do it for you. You don't deserve his blessings. I don't deserve his blessings. But he gives these blessings. Trust him. Turn today if you're unconverted. And ask him to save you. And he will save you and give you everlasting life. Put your faith in him today. And O child of God, rejoice. And you say that I am unworthy, but God has blessed me. And here, he hasn't finished yet. He hasn't finished. The blessings will come every day to us until he brings us home to heaven. And we'll be with Christ forever in glory. I pray the Lord would bless his word to heart. If any questions, do speak with us today.